This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Here we are again, and it's so good to be back again in this seat and talking to you. This is the Sue Free Show, and it exists to empower you. Are you in need of passion, purpose, connection? This show is about getting to know you. What are you passionate about? What is your purpose on this earth? What were you created for? When do you feel connected to another person? Who are you? Look at yourself in the mirror and just say that. Boy, what's the answer? It is not what you do for a living that determines who you are. Our actions say who we are. When you are vulnerable, authentic, transparent, and teachable, going through challenging experiences, we can all grow and learn from one another. This journey is a process where you will be able to receive and discover who you are. This is your life. Are you who you want to be? I know I'm pretty happy with where I am, but I'm not who I want to be. And I know for me personally, I'm looking forward to the journey. And there was a time where I didn't say that. I was thinking, just tell me how to get there. Tell me how to get there. But it's the journey and understanding where we're going to go at the end of this journey that we need to understand. And that's partly why I have a special guest with me today. His name is Ross Labbins. He gave his life to Christ on May 31st of 1998, not so long ago. Days later, he was introduced to the debate between the biblical account of creation and man's humanistic view of molecules to man evolution. He immediately recognized the implications of this crucial controversy and challenges both non-Christians and Christians to defend their faith, pointing out that even the ardent atheist is religious. He is the president of the Creation Science Association of Ventura County, California, and has given talks on the subject to churches, rescue missions, youth groups, public school, Bible clubs, and public school board of education members. Ross is in the studio with us today, and Ross, I just welcome you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's good to have you here. So, Ross, how did you get involved in the creation versus evolution controversy? This is a big controversy, and I can remember being really young and hearing about the dinosaurs and we evolved and all this stuff, and it kind of, you know, made me concerned, and I thought the schools knew everything. So how did you get going on this journey?
Well, let me address what you just said about being younger and being in school. That's exactly what's happening in our public school systems, and that is that you have young people who believe what they're being taught and what they're being told, whether it's by their parents or a teacher. And many of them are not being given the tools, especially as a young Christian student in school, to be able to defend the biblical account of history. And that's one of the things that I'm very passionate about ever since I got into this. It's a similar story with me. Is I was raised in a Christian home, and I remember receiving my first Bible, the King James, at about 9 years old. And like any other book I may have started to read at that time, I started from the very first page. So I started reading through Genesis, and I got through the flood, and I remember distinctly closing that Bible and pushing it away from me and thinking to myself, well, that's just some other culture's version of where we came from. Now, I know that seems kind of like, yeah, a nine-year-old wouldn't say that, but I remember thinking that. I was like, that, you know, this is not true. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was going to church every week, but my questions were not being answered. Hmm. So at about 13 years old, my mom, as many parents do, get tired of dragging their kids to church, and so she said, I'm fed up. I'm not going to take you anymore. And believe me, it was a sigh of relief to me because I didn't want to go to church. I felt uncomfortable. Didn't seem real to me. It seemed like a fairy tale. So I went my way. Not until I was in 1998, I was about 31 years old, just 30 years old. And I was going to a church, my cousin's church in the San Fernando Valley. And after about 9 months of going there, maybe once a month, finally my heart was pricked and I felt convicted. And I realized, you know what? I have lied. I have committed adultery. I have stolen, and all the other ones. I've used the Lord's name in vain. And I decided I need to give my life to Christ. So soon after that, a friend of my cousin's family, my cousins, gave me a videotape by a creationist, and that videotape completely changed my life. I realized something. I thought, if the evidence does not, the scientific evidence, the world, the evidence we find out in the world, if that evidence does not support evolution, if evolution isn't true, what is the only other option?
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, special creation. The biblical history is absolutely true. We have all the scientific evidence that supports it. And so that's how it all started.
I've heard, you know, a lot of different things over the years and whatnot, and things come up like, okay, what religion, what Bible, you know, how do we know that this is real? How do we know the Big Bang isn't the real thing and whatnot? And I've also heard that they say there's more evidence to show that God is real and Jesus died on the cross and he resurrected. There's more proof of showing that than there is of the Big Bang. So what do you say to someone that says that to you? How do you defend? What do you say? Because I really don't know how to defend it other than I just know I believe.
It's all the Bible is a history book.
Okay.
It is, as many other creation scientists, you know, the people say, well, you can't be a scientist and be a Christian. You can't be a scientist and be religious. But I always turn that around and say every single person on the planet, including as you read in my introduction, is religious. The ardent atheist who says I don't believe in God is a religious person. That is a belief system.
Mm-hmm.
So as a Christian and somebody who tries to impress upon my fellow Christians, you can defend your faith, you can defend the history and scripture. You can look at that and say, if we can point out to the atheist, to the evolutionist, that you are just as religious as I am, then that should flip a switch in their head.
Mm-hmm.
Because one, you know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. You can recognize the issues. And I'll try and give a story later on this afternoon about what happened to me and an injury I went through.
Mm-hmm.
But to defend the scriptures, to be able to say, okay, Big Bang or the biblical history, each one of them is a faith. And again, that's something else we can point out. But there's no scientific, and I'll define the word science in a little bit, there's no scientific evidence, meaning observable, testable, and repeatable evidence, for the Big Bang, which, according to the evolutionists, happened 15 to 20 billion years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no evidence for that. I mean, I wasn't alive to see the Big Bang happen. I also was not alive, and neither was anybody else today alive, to see God create from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point. We shouldn't be arguing religion versus science. We should be arguing religion versus religion, basically, and pointing out that we both have a religious worldview.
Meaning a belief system.
A belief system, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
You're listening to The Sue Free Show on KKLA 99.5. And if you have to leave your car and you are liking what you're hearing and want to hear more, just understand that you can leave your car and you can go into your house, you can turn on your computer, and you can put on kkla.com, click on Listen Live, and you can listen to the show. Also, we have Sue Free's, spelt like fries, one word, .com. Sue Free's, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And you can click on that and you can get the podcasts. So if you hear something that you want to share with somebody, or you can't hear the whole show right now and you want to come back to it later, just understand that all of our podcasts are listed on there by name, by date, and you can share these podcasts with other people. And I'm really, truly hoping that you do. And I'm hoping that what we are saying here is helping, because that's why we're here. It's this God show, and we want to make sure that what we're doing on this show is going to be glorifying to him, number one. And number two is, if there's a helpless, hopeless person or somebody who's just not sure, that we're going to give some type of hope, help, or faith, something, guidance, change in direction, anything like that. That's the whole goal here. Also, if you're listening and you have a question, and you want to share your question, don't be shy, and call 888-995-5552. Again, the number is 888-995-5552. 905-555-5552. We'd love to hear from you. We have a screener. Her name is Melissa. She's the producer for the show. And she'll talk to you and she'll screen the call and she'll ask you to try to be really tight with your questions so we can get a lot into this show. We have a lot to say. And we'd love to hear from you, though. So don't hesitate. You know, if you feel a prompting in your heart, it's usually the Holy Spirit. And it probably means that what you have to share, somebody else needs to hear, too. So just dial that line and get on the phone with us, okay? So, Ross, getting back to you, when you give your presentations, how do you introduce the subject?
I challenge people with a few questions and let them know that the debate between creation and evolution is really a debate between man's view of history and the biblical record of history. I think that's an important point. We have a Bible that is inspired by God, written by men, and we talked about that earlier before the show.
Uh-huh.
It is written by men, yes, absolutely, but it is inspired. And we talked a little bit about the prophecies. We may have touched on that a little later. But one of my favorite verses in Scripture is Hosea 4:6, and it starts off by saying, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And I think that's exactly what's happening in the Christian community. We have so many young people that are leaving the faith. 75%, according to the statistics, say that 75% of young people who are raised in a Christian home, who go to public school, and then go off to college, 75% of them will leave their faith within the first year of college. That's a huge number.
Very sad.
And I said that to a presentation one time, and there was somebody in the audience that said, and that's just the first year.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the number of kids who go through two, three, four, five years of university who are still faithful after 5 years. Very rare. What are we doing in the Christian community to prepare these kids to be able to defend their faith and stand on their own 2 feet like we all should be able to and be able to give an answer for our faith?
That's a very strong question, and we do need to focus on that as a church. We definitely need to focus on that because
Absolutely.
We do need to give that truth and that strength to know that we have something to stand on. I know that I wavered. I know a lot of people that waver, even people that are brought up or that are reading Scripture and that believe and have had amazing miracles happen in their lives. And there's still times where you get tested and there's things that happen.
Absolutely. So I'm sorry.
It's okay. David has a question regarding the Bible. David, are you on the line?
I am.
Hi, David.
Yeah. You know, I'm listening to your guest talk. I don't know his background. He doesn't sound particularly educated in science. But science isn't a belief system. It's an acceptance of data and evidence. It's not a belief system.
I
don't know where you got that from. Let me finish. So how do we know the Bible is historical? You said we know the Bible is historical. I mean, it was all written many years after Jesus, with only one mention of Jesus anywhere by Josephus, the Roman historian. So when you say we know, how do we know? How do you know? What's the evidence?
Well, if you're familiar with the Dead Sea Scrolls, sir?
I am.
Okay. That was an account of the Old Testament, and you just said that that Scripture or the Bible was all written after Jesus, and that's not true.
No, the New Testament.
Okay. Okay. I'm glad we clarified that. I understand that.
Everybody knows that. Come on.
Okay.
No,
well,
not everybody knows
I just
that.
Wanted to be clear in case there were some...
All right, go ahead.
Okay. So we have written records and the Torah, okay, the Pentateuch, all the different books of the Bible that were written many, many years, hundreds of years before Jesus Christ.
They say nothing about Jesus.
Okay. They promise the coming of a Savior. We read
Jesus. They promise a Messiah. Not Jesus. They promise a Hebrew man that will be married and have children. That's very significant in the Old Testament.
Okay.
So I don't know where you're getting your Old Testament history from.
Well, this is what most theologians, Christian theologians, will attest to and what the Bible attests to. Okay.
I'm talking about attesting to, but not evidence. You're saying attest to.
Okay.
But where's the evidence? Are you going to give me some evidence?
Well, the evidence I have, sir, is the Dead Sea Scrolls, that when they were found and they were able to translate them, they confirmed the Old Testament record of a coming Messiah and the history given in Genesis. That's all I can tell you.
But that says nothing about Jesus, but your Messiah. It doesn't say anything about your Messiah. It just says the Messiah will come. It doesn't say the Messiah is coming at a specific date, and it certainly doesn't say that your Messiah is. You know something? You are not a scientist. Your religion is a belief. Science is acceptance of evidence.
Okay.
There's a big difference. For you and your host, who really don't seem to know anything about science to say that science is religion is ridiculous.
Oh, sir.
Science is not based on belief.
No. I just want to tell the other listeners, I did not say that science is religion. That is not what I said at all, okay? I believe in science. I believe in the laws of gravity and the laws of physics, absolutely. The question is, where did those laws come from, okay? Who was the lawgiver? So we got off on a tangent, and I'm sorry about the historicity of the Bible and that sort of thing.
That's too bad. So. Nearly all secular media outlets tell us that evolution is a fact supported by science and the biblical account of creation is myth. So which view is scientific?
Okay. The first thing that I do in my presentations, before we even talk about science and science in the form of biology, physics, that sort of thing, chemistry, we need to know the definition of the word science.
Okay.
Because if a student goes into a high school class or a college class,
right,
and they're being told by the professor, again, somebody they respect, somebody they trust, certain thing over here is science, they're going to believe it.
Right.
But if we know the definition of the word science, and I'll just give you a layman's definition, science is knowledge, but it's knowledge based on observation and experimentation. If you can't see it, if you can't test it, if it's not repeatable, it's not scientific. And this is what I was saying earlier was both views are religious. I was not there to see God create. Nobody alive today was there to see the Big Bang. They're both based on faith.
Right.
Now, the scientific evidence, the first law of thermodynamics says matter and or energy cannot be created or destroyed.
Right.
It can't be created or destroyed on its own.
Right.
That's the point. You can't get a single atom of hydrogen blink itself into existence.
Yeah, where did the first atom come from?
Where did the first atom come from? Now, there are all sorts of experiments that are being done around the world, and scientists and governments are spending billions of dollars creating these apparatuses that are supposed to basically create matter from nothing. But to me, all that shows is it takes a huge amount of knowledge and energy and a big piece of equipment to try and get something from nothing, and you just can't do it. So the very first law of thermodynamics, which is a scientific fact, it is a law of science, says that the Big Bang can't happen.
Right.
And that's what students need to be able to hear. But they're not even being challenged with that in the public school
system.
I know. Absolutely.
I was in public system, and I know that, you know, I was not told any of that. So then I was trying to question, you know, what I was being told from two different aspects. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. And when I say flagship station, it means that this is being broadcasted through 99.5 KKLA. But this show actually is being syndicated now, which is amazing to me. And we're heard in San Diego and Santa Maria and all along the coast. So it's really wonderful that we're being able to be heard all over the place. Most Christians are not scientists. Many more don't want to be bothered with this topic and just have faith in Jesus as their Savior. Why do you think this subject is so important?
Well, as I stated earlier, I think maybe before the show, was the world already thinks that the Bible is just a book of morality and or worse, a book of myths, that Jesus may have really existed, but he was just a good man or a teacher. How the Christian defends God's word is critical to reach today's culture. If we're asked questions about the flood and we don't have an answer for that, if we're asked questions about Jesus' resurrection, we don't have answers for that. The world is telling us via science, saying that the Bible can't be trusted, it's not true, and they know, and there's been many, many humanists out there and scientists who have said this, that if you can discredit the book of Genesis, then the rest of the Bible history falls. Because almost every Christian doctrine, directly or indirectly, is founded in the book of Genesis. Why are we wearing clothes? Genesis 1-11.
Right.
Why is there death? Genesis 1-11. Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Genesis 1-11. Why is it necessary for the shedding of blood to cover sins? Genesis 1-11. Why is there marriage? Why is there male and female? Okay, Genesis 1-11. Almost every Christian doctrine is founded in the book of Genesis. So I would challenge your listeners and you, is Genesis important? I think absolutely.
I think absolutely, too. You know, I'm writing a book right now, Ross, and the people that are helping me with us said the first sentence is the most important sentence of the entire book and the Bible in the beginning.
Yep.
In the beginning. So what is that saying?
In the
beginning.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And what's very interesting about that verse, Moses was just some guy out in the desert, okay? I mean, I'm being funny about that, okay?
Right.
He didn't know anything about modern science. He didn't know about the laws of physics. But
right.
when he was inspired to write that, he didn't start off saying, God created the heaven and the earth in the beginning. There's a very definite reason why you put it first.
Right.
Because before you start anything, before I lift this piece of paper or drink my water bottle, time begins.
Correct.
So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And he didn't create the earth and then the heaven. He had to create a place for the earth to be. And the scripture says that the earth hangs on nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating when you really study the book of Genesis and you look at the order of the days of creation. You know, you had light before you had plants. You had earth before you had plants. You had plants before you had any animals. So they had something to eat. So it's just fascinating. Now, some people get hung up on, well, God said, let there be light, and there was light, but he hadn't created the sun, moon, and stars yet. Okay? So that's a good indication that there's not, as some people may think, the day-age theory, where there could be, each day could be tens of millions or millions or billions of years old. They can't be. Because God's not going to sit around folding his arms across his chest, producing light for a bunch of plants for millions of years. That would not make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So he had the light, and in Revelation we read that there will be no need for the sun, that the light will come from him. So God can produce light. He can speak it into existence. He's a miracle worker.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only until day four, okay, that he created the sun, moon, and stars. Just one solar earth rotation day after day three when he created the plants. It's just fascinating if you look at the order of it.
Yeah, that is, and I've never thought about it like that. And everything in our lives have to have order. It's even in business, you know, you have to have this done before you can do this, and you have to do this before you do this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like everything has a natural order.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be following in order also.
Absolutely.
Things work a lot better when we do them in order, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And one of the things about Genesis is, we can, if we say that Genesis may not be accurate as written, then what we're doing is we're basically questioning Jesus' authority, okay? Because he believed in Genesis. He quoted from Genesis. Actually, every New Testament writer, I believe, quoted more times from Genesis than any other book of the Bible. And so the credibility of Jesus is at stake. When he says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Okay? The credibility of Peter is at stake when he talks about the earth that then was in 2 Peter, let's see, I think it's 2 Peter, talks about there shall come in the last day scoffers who are walking after their own lusts and saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. He says, this they willingly are ignorant of, that the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. He believed, and I'm obviously paraphrasing a little bit, he believed in a global flood. So did Paul. So are they all crazy? Are they all lying to us? That would be awful. So, of course, they believed in a literal Genesis as written. So it's only from man's opinion that we have allowed Scripture to be changed. And it's the opinions outside of Scripture that say, oh, all this evidence supposedly points to an ancient earth. And that's not true. There's all sorts of evidence that says the earth can't be billions of years old. And maybe we can get to some of that.
Maybe we can. Okay. Well, you know, I know that when I'm talking to people and I ask them questions about things, you know, we've already touched on a couple of those. And one was, well, gosh, there's so many different Bibles. How do you know which one's real? And how do you know that the Bible is really from God? And we've already touched on that. And what Bible is the best Bible and whatnot? And how do you know where, you know, the word is truth? You know, okay, well, how do you know that? And there's a country song that talks about the words written in red. And I love that song about the words written in red. Because some people, you know, non-Christians or people that aren't aware of the Bible don't even know that, you know, the words written in red are from Jesus.
Right.
And I just think that's something when I hear that, I'm like, wow, there's people that, you know, there's a lot of people, lack of knowledge, people perish.
Mm,
and
absolutely.
They just don't even know. But I know that I've wavered. I've wavered on times, and I know other people have wavered. And so the main point is how can we be strengthened to know that it's real, that Jesus is real, that God is real, and that God is really the way it happened. It didn't happen with Big Bang. Is there anything that you know, I mean, because I know for me, I lean on faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. And we are in a society and a life of, you know, you go to court and you have to have evidence to prove your point. You have to have evidence to show that this is real. And the only thing that I say, like with the Holy Spirit and whatnot, is do we know that the Holy Spirit is real? And how do you know the Holy Spirit is really there? And I always equate it to the wind, because you know the wind is there, but can you see the wind? Think about that for a second. Can you see the wind? No, but you see evidence of the wind. So it's a real interesting thing there. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things unseen. So it's getting on. We only have like 2 minutes left before we go to break, so I don't want to get really heavy into anything. So before we go to break, Ross, is there something you want to touch on before we go to the other side of the break?
There are many creation speakers out there who will challenge their audiences to give evidence for God as creator. And one of the evidences, or one of the sort of the logical things that we can ask ourselves and ask other people and challenge ourselves with, is do you have to see, if you look at the watch on your wrist or an ink pen, you know intuitively that this was built by somebody. And I'm holding up a pen for your audiences. You know, they can't see it. But you know that an ink pen or the watch on your wrist or your car, intuitively you know that somebody built that. Somebody designed it. Somebody created it. Okay? But do you have to see the designer? Do you have to see the manufacturer to know that he or she exists?
Good point.
No.
Another thing is that when you put your foot on the brake pedal, do you absolutely know that the car is going to stop? You don't, but you believe that it's going to stop.
Based on past experience.
Right, because it's supposed to do that. You know, so we have faith, right? We have faith that when we put the foot on the brake that the car is going to stop.
Absolutely. Just like the chair you're sitting in. You come in here, you don't even think twice that, okay, I'm going to sit down on a chair. I hope it holds me. No, because it's done it 1,000 times before.
Right.
You know that.
Right.
So
we have faith.
We have faith. I mean, both sides of the argument have a faith. And that's what I was pointing out earlier, was as a Christian, we can point out to the atheist, to the evolutionist, that you have as much faith as I do. Dwayne Gish from ICR said many times, he says, it's unbelievable to me how much an unbeliever has to believe in order to be an unbeliever.
That's good. That's good.
I mean, think of all the things that they have to believe in. They have to believe that matter came from nothing. They have to believe that all the elements from the Big Bang, all the heavier elements came from the Big Bang, from hydrogen, helium. We don't have any process to show how that happened. They have to believe that life came from non-living chemicals. You have to believe, as an evolutionist and an atheist, if you believe truly in Big Bang to goo to you, you have to believe that you came from a rock 3.5 billion years ago. I mean, really, that's what you have to believe. So it's incredible to me that their faith is as strong or stronger than mine.
Yeah, that makes total sense. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and we will be talking more with Ross about evolution versus the truth. So stand by. Hang around. Here we go.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freed Show.
We're back again, and we're with Ross Levins, and he is talking to us about evolution versus Christianity and believing in the Bible and the Word of God. And we're talking because, you know, so many times we're questioned as Christians. You know, it's like, you know, when you're trying to help other people, with their walk, or to understand God and for that reality or the realness to come to light for these people, they always have these questions, you know. And so Ross being on the show, it's been wonderful because it's how to defend a little bit. You know, it comes down to, I think there comes a time when you just have to believe. In my heart and heart of hearts, you know, I know a lot of people, especially the male gender, and I'm not trying to be like that, not gender specific, but, you know, so many times men are so much in their heads, and it's so difficult for them to get to the heart. And yes, we do need to have fact. There has to be fact there. But there also comes a time where this leap of faith happens, to where you just, there comes a time when you just say, you know what, I am just going to, that rope's dangling, I'm on a cliff, and I got this trouble, and I'm in this problem, and it's like, I have to step out in faith and believe. And I'm struggling with that right now in my own life with my broken leg. And I will just say very quickly that, you know, my leg has been broken in numerous pieces, shattered actually, and I'm, you know, into this, and I'm not going to be walking for another couple of months. And I love to dance. So for me, I have to have this belief inside of me that I will have my leg completely back. And I cry every time I say this because I have to believe that. But there's a part of me that always questions whether that's reality and truth or not. But I'm believing and I'm striving for complete use of leg, better leg than before. And I've got a metal plate and a whole bunch of pins in there and a bolt screw thing in my knee and, you know, all these things. But I'm believing, and it comes down to having faith and believing in something. And so when we're struggling and we're not sure, you know, all of these things that are happening in our lives, and when we're struggling so deeply, there has to be something inside of us that we believe in and we have to hold on to, and we want it to be truth. And for me, it's the Lord, the Bible, and I lean on that word. And for a lot of us, there's times where we're suffering and struggling, and having Ross on the show to help us understand more about the word and how the word came to be and how we can rely on it more is strengthening for me. And so for that, I am so grateful, Ross, you're on the show. I want to give people the opportunity to call in case they have a question. It's 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552. And if you have a question or a concern or, you know, if you're in a bad place, we'd love to hear from you and give you strength when maybe you're not feeling very strong. So, Ross, let's keep going. And can you give us an example of how God has used this information to witness to others?
I can, and I appreciate what you're saying about really showing that there is a God, and it's all about a relationship with Him. It's a relationship with each other too, as
yes,
a community of believers,
absolutely,
and trying to reach out to the unbeliever with the truth that God does exist. How do we, as a person who is interested in creation and studies creation, how do we show that God exists so that that person, including ourselves, when we have doubts, why is God allowing this to happen to me? Why am I struggling so much? I can be reminded if I just walk outside, I mean, get out of the building and go into God's creation. There's a verse in Acts where Paul was meeting some people at this, I think it was a creek, and they met there routinely on a regular Sabbath day basis. And they were out in creation. I think that's why God gave us the five senses, so that we can see the miraculous things that He has made. When David says, I look up at the stars, it's incredible. So my passion is to reach out to people, and it's really a certain population of people. There are some people, I mean, I didn't come to Christ through the creation message. I came to Christ because I was convicted. I knew in my heart that, wow, you know what? I have broken God's commandments. So, but there are other people out there who are just hardened, and they need something else to jar their heart loose, I think. And some of them need some scientific explanations for things, and this is what happened to me. Back in 2005, I was working up at Hume Lake Christian Camps. I was going to be teaching the riflery class during the outdoor education program. We went through the training, and I realized, okay, I need some stuff out of storage. So I came back down here to Oxnard and got my stuff out of storage, but I locked my keys in my storage unit.
Oh, no.
So my pride, I didn't want to pay $20 to have them cut my lock off when I knew where my keys were. This was ridiculous to me. So I thought, I'm going to go home and I'll come back in the morning. Well, when you think about it, the time and the money and gas, that it's going to be a lot more than $20. Well, I got home and I realized as I was driving up the street, I don't have a key to get in my mom's house.
Oh, dear.
So I thought, oh, great. How am I going to get in? Well, I decided, I checked the windows on the bottom floor, two-story house, bottom floor. Nothing was open. I thought, well, I'm going to see if I can't jimmy this kitchen window loose. So I was pulling out on the fixed frame and pushing in on the slider, and the slider window broke.
Uh-oh.
And in disgust, I dropped my hands, and within seconds, I realized that something warm was running down my hand.
Oh, dear.
So I picked up my wrist, and I saw that I had lacerated my wrist.
Oh, my gosh. I'm looking at a scar that is an amazing scar on this guy's wrist.
So I immediately clasped it with my left hand, and I thought, well, I've got to call 911.
Absolutely.
Well, I couldn't, because if I released the wound, I would have bled to death probably within 4 minutes.
Yes,
it was arterial. I knew it.
Oof.
So long story short, I spent some time at the Simi Valley Hospital, and then I went to the UCLA Medical Center. They fixed me up, and the next day, the doctor came into my room. He comes up to my bedside, and he says, well, Mr. Labins, the surgery went great. We took care of 2 out of the 3 tendons and clamped off the radial artery.
Oh, my goodness.
The third tendon, people are getting heebie-jeebies.
Yes.
The third tendon, the palmar tendon, we didn't fix that because we don't need that one anymore. We only use that when we used to walk on all fours.
Wow.
I couldn't believe what I had heard. I mean, it was just such an obvious confession of a belief in evolution.
Yes.
So he tried to demonstrate something that I wouldn't be able to do with my hand, and I don't know what he was talking about because I still have full function in my hand. And then he said the same exact thing again. We didn't fix it because we don't need it anymore. And I looked at him, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, I can't pass this up. So I looked at him, and I said, sir, you're talking to the – at that time, I was not the president. I had been one, and I stepped down to go to Hume Lake. I said, you're talking to the former president of the Creation Science Association of Ventura County, and I don't believe that at all. And he looks at me and he says, really? As if to say, doesn't everybody believe in evolution?
Right.
So I said, no, not at all.
Wow.
And so I said, do you see that water pitcher, little pink 1-quart water pitcher? I said, do you see that water pitcher over on my desk on the counter? He says, he turns around and he looks at it. He comes back and he says, well, yes. I said, do you think that water pitcher could ever be the result of an explosion in a plastic factory? And he says, and you could see the look on his face. He knew he was being tested. He says, well, no.
Hmm.
I said, well, what's more complex, my hand, the water pitcher, or my hand, or my eye, or
your
bacteria?
Body. Yeah, your whole body.
And he said, I said, what's less complex, more complex or less complex, you know? And he says, well, the pitcher is less complex.
Right.
And I said, well, then why are we being taught in our public school system every single day that my hand, my eye, a bacteria, which he knows all about as an MD.
Right, of course.
Or this entire complex universe, how could we say that that came from an explosion 15 to 20 billion years ago? And he goes, oh, well, we have evidence for evolution. He gets a little condescending. We have evidence for evolution because we have bigger and smaller, we have hominids in the fossil record that have bigger and smaller brain cases. And I looked at him and I said, well, do we have people alive today that have bigger and smaller heads? And he said, well, yes. I said, so, well, is that evidence for evolution from slime to scientist, or is that evidence for variation within the kind?
Mm-hmm.
And I get chills every time I get to this point when I say this. He says, I never thought about that.
Okay, we have a caller. We've actually got more than one. We've got a lot of callers that want to call because they want to kind of talk about that first caller. I don't really want to talk about the first caller, but I do want to talk to Dirk Newberry Park right now. Dirk, you there?
Hi, Sue.
Hi, Dirk.
How are you?
Oh, well, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well.
I see I'm getting better every day because I have to believe that. Aren't we all supposed to get better every day?
Indeed. Being renewed day by day.
Absolutely. Oh, I could say that too. That'd be good. I'd like that. So, Dirk, what do you want to say?
Well, I'd like to rebut the first caller's assertion that there's only one obscure reference to Jesus Christ outside the Bible.
Okay.
Recently, I took a course in the defense of the resurrection at Biola.
Okay.
And read a couple of books, one by Gary Habermas, Case for the Resurrection of Christ. And it cited 17 extra-biblical sources, including Tacitus, who was a first-century Roman historian that made a reference to Christus, which is a Greek term for Christ, and, you know, many others.
Okay. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah, definitely, you know, a lot of Pliny the Younger, Paul of Samosata, and many others that do reference, you know, the crucifixion of Christ, the suffering of martyrdom of early Christians, and, you know, Josephus as well. His reference referred to Pontius Pilate being the one who crucified Christ, and that Christ was seem to have been resurrected by his disciples as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Numerous other accounts that support that fact. So I had heard a video, or seen a video called Zeitgeist, that made the same allegation that only one, you know, obscure reference by Josephus is all in history, and that is tacitly false.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, Dirk, very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much, Dirk.
You're welcome.
Okay, I have a MC from Long Beach. Are you still there? I'm sorry it took so long to get to you.
Uh-oh. No, it didn't take long at all. This is pretty quick for most phone and radio shows.
Okay, well, you're on your cell. I usually don't take cell phones because they end up cutting off. But would you like to say something?
Oh, yes. Lee Strobel has an excellent book called The Case for Christ, if anybody wants any evidence.
Okay.
And apologetics is a complete doctrine that defends Christianity and the Christian faith. And as far as evolution is concerned, I believe if you study, Darwin himself changed his mind about a lot of things that he put forth. And most of science today has rebutted just about everything that Darwin has put forth as far as evolution is concerned in man. And then the one point that your guest made earlier should be the biggest point for your first caller when he said science and religion or belief system were two different things. How did we get the other elements if the base elements had to create everything? What brought forth the other elements that we now know to exist? The 103 elements are basic elements, and there's nothing more that you can break those down for. So obviously there's some kind of faith in that if you want to believe in something like the Big Bang Theory.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, MC.
Good job, great show, and we're going to support you no matter what.
Well, thank you so much, and we really appreciate that. God bless you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. I want to get back, Ross. Thank you so much for callers calling in, and we welcome your callers calling in. We love to hear from you. And it's nice to know there's listeners out there. It's so funny when you're in the radio station. You don't know if you're really being heard out there, so it's nice to know that we are, and that's great. Ross, question. I want to get back to that wrist. You know, that was huge. I mean, you could have died from that. I'm looking at that scar going, oh, my gosh.
I actually have a very small picture on a printout, and I don't know if you can see that very
closely
or not.
We're going to put that on the website if anybody wants to see that. It's not gory. You can look. I kind of show my x-rays with my plate and my pins, and there's some people that just get so grossed out by it, and other people are going, wow, that's really cool. So anyway, phone number here is 888-995-5552. Again, 888-995-5552. I should make it a song so it's easier to remember. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you. Call in. And where do you want to go from here? You have so much you want to share. So
I do. And of
we're
going to
run out of time, so you better
here.
Hurry.
I also want your listeners to know that if they have children in the public school system,
yes,
there are court rulings that have said that you can teach creation science in the public school classroom. And I'll just read one of them to you.
That's good.
From the California State Board of Education policy on the teaching of natural sciences, it says, discussions of any scientific fact, hypothesis, or theory related to the origins of the universe, the earth, and life are appropriate to the science curriculum.
So teachers out there and principals of schools out there and anybody that has to do with the school system, understand that you don't have to be bound by only one view.
And you don't have to be scared off by the ACLU, because many times what happens is a student will go home and tell their parents or parent that, my teacher referenced intelligent design or Christianity. And the parent usually is the one that freaks out and calls the principal or the school board. And because they don't want to handle a lawsuit, they back down and tell the teacher, oh, you can't talk about creation. You can't talk about even intelligent design. And that is a tragedy, because ACLU knows that they would lose the case. Mm-hmm. But the teacher and the principal, or the principal especially, is so intimidated that they'll say, no, you can't say anything like that. And yet we have every legal right to teach alternative ideas or hypotheses of origins. The California, let's see, Education Code, Section 60200, starts where it starts off. It says that in reviewing and adopting or recommending for adoption submitted basic instructional materials, the state board, and I'll paraphrase here, in its judgment, it's interesting, there's a clause there. So you have people who are making these determinations, and many of them are not going to be Christians. Mm-hmm. I think we need to elect more Christians to state board agencies and educational systems.
I agree.
And so the state board shall ensure that the submitted basic instructional materials meet all of the following criteria. And item 3 says that the instructional materials should be factually accurate and incorporate principles of instruction reflective of current and confirmed research.
So as a parent, the child comes home. I'm a parent. My kids are grown. But as a parent, and my kids both went to public, not private school. As a parent, the kid comes home, the child comes home and says, you know, Mom, guess what I learned today? And you're upset, you're worried, you call the principal, and the principal backs down, or you can't fight your case because you don't have enough evidence or you don't have enough information. Where would these parents go, Ross, in order to get help to help them have both sides of the story at least presented instead of just one skewed side? Where would they go? How would they do that?
Well, I would suggest that they get involved with their school system and they bring the educational code. I mean, if there's ever an instance of this type, bring the California Code of Education to them and point that out to them.
Okay.
And be able to tell the principal or the teacher, you can teach it. Now, if a student raises a question, and this is where most of the problem is, you have students from every age group. I mean, I've taken some community college classes, and when you question the teacher, especially my anthropology teacher at Ventura College, they get furious with you. Oh, wait a minute. I paid for my class. I should be able to answer or ask any question I want and have you give an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Not throw your arms up in the air. Not tell the students, oh, we don't want to hear this kind of stuff. You should be able to defend your position without calling a Christian names or demeaning them.
Right.
That's just not right.
It isn't. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA. If you want to call, 888-995-5552. And you can go on Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And when you go on there, we're going to have this information in case you couldn't write it down, in case you have somebody else you want to share that with. We're going to put this information on the website, become a fan, friend, whatever it is, and we can connect you to what you need on there. Okay, so we just want to know that those resources are there for you or for somebody else that you might know that could be helped by this information. So we can show that there must be a designer, but doesn't that stop a bit short? What evidence can we give the world that the God of the Bible is that designer?
Well, I think we've touched on that a little bit already. We have a historical record written by people who lived at that time. The first caller was talking about how the New Testament was written after Jesus' life. Well, that's true, but they were still alive. If somebody was to start saying something about Jesus' life that wasn't true, there were a bunch of people that would have said, hey, nah, that's not what happened. I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know how many times the word witness or witnesses is used in the New Testament. Even Jesus said when he was being judged, he says, I have done nothing in secret. Ask them. So he was teaching, I mean, thousands and thousands of people. We have four gospels, and I know that if I was to take a test and you were to take a test and it was an essay, say essay question, and our essay was exactly the same word for word, what do you think the teacher would do? He would think that we copied off each other. Well, the accounts in the Gospels, the Gospel accounts, I should say, are not exactly the same, but they tell the same message that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Mm-hmm. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was crucified. He died and was in the ground for 3 days and rose from the dead. And he presented himself over and over to people. I mean, several hundred people at one point. So we have witnesses that saw this happen, and they recorded it. And of course, we know from the different gospels that one of the gospel writers was writing it to the Jews, and other people writing it to some other audience.
Uh-huh.
And that's important. So we have this historical record that shows that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He rose from the dead. And that to me is critical.
I looked up witness on BibleGateway.com, and it says there's 112 results. And that's just witness, not witnesses, because that would be separate.
And that's in the New Testament or the whole Bible?
It just says keyword search results. New International Version is the one that I use, not
okay.
King James. So
yeah.
I apologize for that. But 112 results.
So many, many different times. I don't. Who knows?
Yeah.
Usually when you use the word witness, it's because somebody has observed something.
That's right.
I wanted to challenge your audiences to answer the question to themselves. And this is what these are the questions that I asked the students at the Campus Crusade for Christ Christmas Conference back in 2003. I was invited to go down there. And as soon as I got there, I saw some students milling around, and I went up to them and I said, "Hey, how are you doing? Are you a Christian?" And of course, they looked at me and they said, "Well, of course I'm a Christian. I'm at the Campus Crusade for Christ Christmas Conference." So I said, "Okay, well, how do you know? How does a Christian know that they're a Christian?" And they said, well, they looked at me and shrugged their shoulders and said, "Well, I believe the Bible." And I looked at them and I said, "Well, do you really? Why are you giving me that look?" So I said, "Well, what do you believe about the Bible? What do you believe about Jesus?" Well, I said, "Well, I believe that he rose from the dead, that he was a sinless person, and he was born of a virgin, all those things." I said, "Okay, well, do you believe he turned water into wine?" "Yeah."
That was the first miracle.
"Yeah. Do you believe he walked on water?" "Yes." "Do you believe he raised Lazarus from the dead?" "Yes." And by this time, you know, college students are answering all the right questions correctly. "Yes, yes, yes." So I said, "Okay, well, let's go back in time. Do you believe in Abraham?" "Yes." "Do you believe in Isaac?" "Yes." "Jacob?" "Yes." "Do you believe they crossed the Jordan River, you know, walked across on dry land on the Red Sea?" "Yes." I said, "Do you believe in a global flood?" And they all said by this time, "Yes." And I said, "Where's your evidence?" And out of probably 60 people, only two were able to give me evidence for a global catastrophic flood. And so at one point, I remember looking at this one young lady, and when she said, "Well, I don't know, I'm not a geologist," I just sort of dropped my head and I prayed and I said, "Lord, we are not equipping your people to defend their faith." And I looked up at her and I apologized. I said, "I'm sorry, my reaction is not because you didn't know the answer, but you're standing on it." And she looked down to the ground. We were in a hotel. She looked up at me. She says, "What are you talking about?" I said, "This building probably rests on soil, which covers sedimentary rock." Mm-hmm. She said, "Well, what's sedimentary rock?" I said, "Sedimentary rock is sediments. It used to be soft mud. It's rock now, but it was flowed into position by water because it was viscous. It was liquid." And I said, "When you go to the Grand Canyon," and she gave me this look on her face. Her eyes got really wide, and she looked at me, and she goes, "I go to the Grand Canyon every year." And I said, and I slapped my hands. I said, "When you go to the Grand Canyon, you are looking at direct evidence that God judged this planet by water." I said, "Where do you find sedimentary rock like that, layers like that? Do you find them in all over the United States?" "Yes." "You find them in China?" "Yes." "Russia?" "Yes." "Australia?" "Yes." "You find sedimentary rock on every continent on our planet." I said, "To me, that screams a global catastrophic event. I mean, the layers in the Grand Canyon, the red rock limestone in the Grand Canyon, it extends all the way to Oklahoma and beyond."
Wow.
And yet the Grand Canyon placards will say, "Oh, this was a local lake and it filled in and the sediments accumulated." That's unreal. How can you believe that when the evidence suggests that, and there's the layers that we find in the United States, they actually match up, many of them match up with layers in Europe.
How can that be?
How can that be if it's a local event? It was a global catastrophic flood.
We have 3 minutes left.
Okay. And I ask people all the time, why do you think God used a global flood, a flood, to destroy man and animals and judge the planet? It leaves evidence. He could have just wiped everybody out. We spoke everything into existence. He could have spoken them out of existence. But Noah had been walking around with his kids, and he would have had nothing to point to say, God judged this planet. And it was only up until about 200 years ago that view changed. By and large, European countries and Western civilization believe that the Earth was young and that God judged it, and the evidence is in the fossils and the rock layers.
So now we have 2 minutes left. So in this 2 minutes, it's going to fly by, Ross. So I know you have so much to say, and you kept referring to other things later on. You wanted to talk about some quotes, I think, and I don't know what else you feel the Lord leading you to express or say in your last 2 minutes here.
Well, I'd like your listeners to listen to a quote from Martin Luther.
Okay.
I firmly believe that this conflict between creation and evolution is critical for the Christian to be able to get up to speed on.
Okay.
And I believe that the evolution idea, it's not a theory. A theory is a very well-supported hypothesis with scientific evidence, observable, testable evidence. It's not even a theory. Technically, you can't even call it a theory.
Okay.
I call it the evolution hypothesis. Anyway, Martin Luther says, "If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, then I am not confessing Christ, however boldly I may be professing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all the battlefields besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that one point."
wonderful. We're done, and it's so sad that we're done. I don't want to be done. God bless you guys. You are forgiven. All you have to do is reach up and ask the Lord to forgive you and change your ways. Whatever you're doing that's not right according to God, just turn away from that and go another direction. And He will forgive you because that's what He does. Thank you. Until next week. Bye.
Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call E. coli Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. E. coli has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. E. coli keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call E. coli today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. E. coli, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.